The recording is now started. You can go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you very much. David, I'll do a quick roll call.
Thank you.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Today on today's FTI call, Wednesday the 9th of December, we have David Maher, Zahid Jamil, Jeff Newman, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Alan Greenberg, John Nevitt, Wendy Seltzer, Konstantinos Komaitis, Mark Partridge. From staff, we have Margie Milam, Glenn de Saint-Géry, Amy Stathos, Liz Gaster, Marika Konings, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies from Jeff Eckhouse and Maye Diop, and Kathy Kleinman will be a few minutes late on the call. Also, if I could please remind everyone to state their names for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, David.
Thank you. Draft report, draft recommendations is up for review. I have no strong feelings about the order in which we proceed. If anyone wants to bring up a subject that is urgent, my suggestion is that we just start from the top and work on through. Any other thoughts on Mark? Go ahead.
My only thought, David, would be I think I saw and heard some exchanges that go to more of a organization or structural issue, and I wonder if it would be useful to for people who are pushing. I don't have one to propose, but if it might make sense to deal with those global comments first before digging into the specifics.
Jeff?
Yeah. So I'm one of those who kind of made those comments, and I think, and I was thinking about this yesterday as to why I have such a strong reaction to this, is that I believe that minority opinions, while you could state in the column that there is a minority opinion on this, I believe the bulk of the minority opinion should be put at the end of the document, as they normally are. The reason being is that the minority opinions have rationales in them. If you look at the column, it's, you know, the BC feels this way because blah, 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 whatever it is. There's no rationale in the actual recommendation or in the principle. So it's really out of place to have the rationale explained for a minority position. We don't even have the rationale explained for the actual principle in the chart. And it really takes up most of the document. It looks unnecessarily slanted in favor of the minority opinion, and this goes for the case where the registries have a minority opinion as well, so it's not just the BC. So I truly believe that that there should be a note in the column that there is a minority opinion by the BC or the registries or whoever in a particular column, but the minority opinion should all be at the end and should not allow the chart.
Hey, Alan?
Yeah, I support that, and there's another reason in my case. Not all the minority opinions are in yet, and I think having some of them listed in the chart and some of them only listed at the back gives unfair and unreasonable precedence to the ones that are in the chart. It would be reasonable for Margie at the last moment before supporting to add a note saying there is a minority opinion on this particular item and reference it to the back. Having her add all the text at the very last moment, I think, is both prone to error and is going to clutter up the document immensely.
Yes, I would like to agree with everybody that has spoken so far on that subject, and especially, I mean, to me, looking at it, it gives these minority opinions, the way they are listed, provides a negative feeling, and I think that would significantly distract the attention from all the work that we've been doing for the past couple of months. So, under rough consensus, as Jeff suggested, we can put there is a minority opinion and then refer to the end for everybody to read these minority opinions. Thanks.
Okay, well, Mark?
I just can say I think Konstantino makes a very important point overall. This has been a process of compromise. We're not all getting what we want. But overall, I think we've agreed that we support this as a group, as the best solution to accommodate a range of interests and solve a problem. And I think it's valuable for it to come out of this process as in that spirit.
Okay, thanks. Zahid.
Sorry, I was on mute. Here's what I think I'm understanding from all the comments is that we want to come out of this process and show that there has been consensus around, and I think that's a great thing usually, but here this is a solution that is supposed to be is to solve the problems of the trademark holders. My members, whoever I've had an exchange with so far, feel that this does not. And as I've said on the emails, if this solution doesn't actually cater to or address the concerns of the people it's supposed to cater for, then I think that's a problem which needs to be highlighted definitely, because otherwise when you read this document, it gives the impression that it's fine, there may be a few people who may not agree with it, but generally this sort of thing works. And so I think that's the fear and that's the concern that exists. Now, understanding how the IRT report was treated when it was read, there was a lot of lack of understanding of some aspects, and I think we really have worked hard in this process trying to get it, you know, understood by many people. And I think we've come to appreciate some parts of it, and in fact, most of it. Here's a problem I see when this report goes out. The counselors and the board, when they read this, will have limited time. Will they read just the column, or will they go and read the entire minority report? I'm not so sure. They will want, for this very important thing, want to get a quick snapshot of what the level of consensus is. Now, I appreciate what Jeff has said, that there will be a statement there saying, you know, there's a registry minority view or there's a DC minority view. The next question arises is, how do you figure out what that view is? If it's just in a minority report, you'll have to read all of it. My suggestion is, I have two points and two suggestions. One, I'm willing to work, and John Nevitt made a very good suggestion. I'm willing to sit down and probably come up with shorter points on it so it doesn't clutter up, as Jeff pointed out. That's one aspect. And so it becomes less verbose and it just sticks to the point. And the second is, on the point that Alan made in a response to that, if the minority reports aren't in and they're supposed to be in this report, maybe we ought to wait for that, and then we can decide on that basis. Maybe that's a better way, because it's a very serious and important issue we're discussing. Maybe you should wait for that. These are my suggestions. And we wouldn't support putting everything at the end of the report. This is a DC view. I have conferred with members.
I'm going to call on Jeff in a moment, but I want to respond to that. I'm afraid that what you're asking for is a favored position for one group, and personally, I would not support that. I think we're getting the party report should go at the end with a note in the body that there are minority views. But anyway, Jeff, go ahead.
Well, I think that's, look, whether... And I was on the IRT, and I was disappointed with the amount of people that actually read the report before making comments. But that said, that's not a reason to sprinkle your comments in with all of the others. I think you need to work. I mean, you are a counselor, so you need to make sure as a counselor that the GNSO Council as a whole knows your opinions. And by the way, you can do that by sending them emails on the topics throughout this next week when they're looking at it. That's your job, is to get your counselors aware of it. But there are so many statements in there. You know, like, I'd rather not comment on the BC minority position, because I think some of the wording in the minority position is a little, you know, I asked you at the beginning of the call, I said, does the IPC support your opinions? And you said you haven't even approached them. But your language in your minority report said that trademark businesses or that trademark owners don't feel this is a real protection. But you're not the IP, you're not the trademark constituency, you're the business constituency. So rather than working on wording to put in there, you know, and fixing the wording to make sure that it's balanced, and then putting everyone else's statement saying, well, the registry support this because, and the registrars support this because, I mean, the chart is supposed to be a summary document of the recommendations, not a place to explain all the rationale for everything, because if your rationale, the PC rationale for opposing it is in there, then all of the other constituencies' rationales for supporting it should be in there. And I think that's just not what we intended. And I really feel strongly that that needs to be at the end of the report. Even our minority views need to be at the end of the report.
Alan.
Yeah, just a quick statement. I would, given the widespread level lack of support, particularly for the clearinghouse, particularly for the clearinghouse, I have no problem with a statement in the lead-in paragraph saying, you know, a sentence saying there is widespread dissatisfaction in the within the business community for the constituency, you know, for many of the terms of this, you know, giving them special presence there because they have criticized so many of the issues.
I disagree.
And I'm just saying I could live with that, but scattered throughout it, I find inappropriate.
I don't think any group is entitled to a special position in this report. I really disagree with that idea. Zahid?
Thank you, David. Let me sort of try and I think Jeff makes a good point that as a counselor, that is my responsibility to take that. Jeff, that's a good point. And that is something I probably will be doing, and I'm sure Mike, who couldn't join us, probably will also be doing as well. What it looks like it's turning out to be is that the when you read this report, you just see in the beginning of it the fact that it's supported as a rough consensus by most people. You can distinguish on what at least one relevant trademark holder group feels this about. I take Jeff's point that the IPC also represents trademark holders. I never posed to say that this was trademark holders in general. We're saying BC minority position, so we're identifying this as a minority position of the BC, and so this is our position. And that's very clear. That's I don't think I'm trying, or the BC is trying in any way to misrepresent that, or I don't think you mentioned that, but that's what we're trying to do. But from what I've just heard from David, there's no leading paragraph, there's no explanation, and so what it's going to look like to everybody is that fine, it's a trademark solution, which generally works, so it's okay, and the trademark holder there, I guess they're happy with it, so let's put it through. And that's the fear. So if we're not even going to have a leading paragraph, I think we will have to very strongly object. We need something there that says and identifies the concerns of the VC. If you're going to take all the points and put them in the back of the in a minority report, that's fine. We're going to do that. And we're going to mention VC minority positions, that's fine. But if we're going to say no leading paragraph, and we're asking a special dispensation, I think it's important to mention that some trademark holders don't think it's important. It doesn't solve the problem. I think it needs to be mentioned.
Oh, hi, Alan.
Yeah, just quickly, I'm not sure if we've agreed that we could put a statement in each item saying there is disagreement from this constituency. See the report at the end. If we agreed to that, then the BC position is being highlighted. There's just not nearly as much text.
Oh no, I don't think that's what we.
Okay, so I wasn't sure where we went on that.
John.
Sure. I'm okay with a summary statement in the beginning of the beginning of the section on clearinghouse. So if you look at the sentence that Zahid drafted, you know, having the first sentence that says there's a minority position, that's fine. But I would delete all the rationale and move that to the minority statement, all the footnotes and everything like that. And I'm also okay with, in the chart, having a very high-level statement that there's a minority position of the BC or the registries and when that's applicable, with a very short statement, summary of what the rationale is, but put all the argumentation and all the advocacy in the back in a statement.
Margie, does this provide enough guidance for you?
I have the document set up so you guys can scroll through it. I think what you're suggesting is a sentence, just so I understand it, a sentence in the very beginning, which we have already, but take out, I actually have it in brackets, take out the explanation as to why the BC had a minority position, and then attach it as an appendix, right?
Okay. Mark?
I'm just going to make the point that, the IPC and the BC do seem to have a different point of view on this. I understand the BC's position that this is not that this does not solve the problem, but the IPC strongly believes it's a benefit because it will reduce costs and be more efficient. And I guess if there is going to be a minority statement highlighted in the report, from the IPC's point of view, we would want to make our point as well, so it doesn't appear that that is, you know, that we're completely on the same page on that point.
Zahid.
I think that's a fair point that Mark has made, and we would have no objection to that being there. I think that John's suggestion with regard to having at least something in the leading paragraph is a good suggestion. It's something I can go back to my members and say, well, you know, here's a draft, and at least what we had to do was we couldn't be the only one. I'd use some of the arguments that Jeff has suggested as saying, well, if you're going to have your rationale in there, then everybody else should have the rationale why it's okay. And so it gives me something to work with the members with. Definitely one of the things we would at the very minimum request is that statement be there, and as has been suggested, the fact that there's a BC minority view with a clickable section going down to the bottom is available in the column of level of consensus.
John, is your hand raised?
It is raised, but it's not supposed to be.
Okay. Well, RG, I think we can move along then.
Can I ask one more question? So I'd include sentence at the end of that first paragraph, refer to an appendix. When I get into the body of the document, do I just simply say BC minority position in the text that's in the columns?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay.
Just to clarify, I think there needs to be a statement then as well at the beginning that says on certain items the registries have a minority position, and that also would be stated in the same way.
I think we're all going to have minority positions of one form or another.
I know. This is Jeff. That's my point. If we all, it shouldn't just be one statement that's highlighted if everyone's got one.
So are you saying that everyone's going to send me an additional statement to put in the introduction? I'm just trying to understand whether.
Alan?
Yeah, I had suggested originally that there a statement about BC because they have widespread concern with many of the provisions, which is why I suggested something at the top for them. I don't think we should be noting one by one everyone has a minority position. And lastly, Zahid said something about each statement of a minority position is clickable to point to the actual statement. I would think that would make Margie's work rather onerous when we're trying to get the content right. So I wouldn't support that.
Mark?
I'd like to recommend that last sentence that's added be changed to the BC constituency and other constituencies hold minority positions stated at the end of this report.
Good.
Ahead.
Sorry, Mark, I'm going to have to disagree with that because I think that we're whittling down what we, you know, I'm happy to live with that statement there. I know the rationale's got to go, but that'll get whittled down too much. I would have no problems with the IPC putting in their rationale. I'd have no issues with other people putting in sentences either. But to whittle it down to saying we have just a minority position is doesn't work for us, because then there's absolutely no reason for anybody to understand why, where to look, what's the issue. At least a sentence is a very, very minimum. I understand Alan's point. I understand Alan's point about the clickable issue. That's fine. But then I just want a clarification. Does that in any way impact the way we format and present our minority opinion?
Wendy?
Yeah, it sounds as though we have mostly, again, a rough consensus that the document needs to be readable to understand what the consensus is, and that putting minority statements at the end gives each minority the opportunity to expand to its fullest their arguments. I think putting the indication there is a minority statement from X constituency into the column gives the most opportunity for those statements to be made, the full statements that constituencies would like to make, without detracting from the rest of the group has reached reasonable consensus.
Okay. Margie, I think it's Zahid.
Sorry, just wanted a clarification. So I would make life easier for Margie. What I could do is I could provide BC minority position, para 1, and then whatever our minority position, it could be para 1. And you know, make it sequential. That would make it easier for a reader to understand that. It wouldn't, on the column, say what our position or the advocacy or any of that. Would that be okay? And I still don't know whether we are okay with the sentence still being in there, as I just discussed earlier.
Again, Margie, do you have any questions?
Yeah, so Zahid, you'll send me a paragraph to put in. I'll have an annex. I'll make it annex 1 that has the minority positions in it. So, and anyone also wants to send me a minority statement, go ahead and do so, and I'll put it at the end. And then I'm sorry, I just want to understand what I'm supposed to do in the first paragraph, the sentence. Am I just referring to generally that there are minority positions? Is that the consensus? Or do we specifically call out the business constituency shortened sentence?
I like this, John. I liked Alan's language. Maybe he could repeat it.
I don't remember. I think I said something about the business constituency has widespread dissatisfaction with many of the provisions.
But clearinghouse.
Yeah. To be honest, if every single box has a statement saying BC minority position, nobody's going to miss it.
Okay, I got it. I mean, I can do that.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Sure, I take Alan's point there. I like Alan's language. I'm happy with that being included in the sentence. There's one part of the sentence which I'm happy to take out, which I had already done, I think, so it wasn't it's not the latest draft that I sent out, which was maybe useful to registries is something that Jeff had mentioned was maybe inappropriate, so that can go out. But the language that says that at least for the business constituency, this creates no new significant or new additional benefits, and we can change from trademark holders for BC members. Would that be okay?
I don't think you should be stating the position at the very top, just stating that there is dissatisfaction.
I think, yeah, we've agreed that it's not going to be argumentation in the opening paragraph. Mark?
If there's no argumentation there, then I'll let my hand down. But if there were argumentation there, I think the IPC would want to respond.
Folks, we have substance to talk about, too.
I think at this point we had better move along.
I think we should give discretion to the chair to decide with the scribe exactly how it looks.
Thank you. Kathy?
Would it be inappropriate to ask, because I came in the middle of this discussion, what the language is now? I don't see it in the notes.
I instead of going through it all again, I think we'd better move along because it's
okay.
Going to run out of time. Let's go ahead and the I think one of the things that we agreed on is that the term unanimous consensus should be changed to consensus. Does that anyone disagree with that?
As long as we're defining it, I don't really care what the words are.
John.
Yeah, let's clarify that. I think the suggestion was in the text of the summary paragraph. We suggested that change, not in the in the chart.
But the term unanimous is coming out.
Okay. That was in the context of the discussion online. The context of the discussion online was there was a concern about a differential between rough consensus and unanimous consensus in the summary paragraph for each the clearinghouse and the URS. So the suggestion was to take out that rough consensus in the summary paragraph and take out the unanimous consensus in the summary paragraph, but leave it the way it is, appears in the chart.
Okay. Kathy?
That agreed completely. It was just for the summary paragraph.
Okay. Zahid?
Yeah, okay. So the way it will read is there's consensus among the members of the SCI that, you know, et cetera, et cetera. That's the beginning paragraph. To someone who may not be very, very adept at understanding how we use the word consensus, it would seem that the BC or the minority agreed with it, and that's not the case.
John.
Yeah, I mean, in the same section it says it'll be clear that there's a minority position by the BC, and in each provision in the chart that you disagree with, there's going to be a minority position of the BC. So I guess I'm not persuaded by that.
Can I make a response to that?
Go ahead.
Thank you. Would it be possible then to at least explain what rough consensus means with a footnote right there, saying that there is a minority? Any consensus meaning there might be a minority, just at the bottom, as a footnote, just two, three words. Would that be okay?
Mark?
Well, as I understand it, Zahid has suggested a footnote. I guess that's a workable solution. You could also end the sentence with, except as indicated below.
Okay. John, did you end up? All right. How do we want to move along? Do we want to go through this just page by page, if there are substantive issues where people have something to say, this is probably the better way to approach it. I'm open to suggestion.
Let's try it that way.
Okay. Who wants to take the lead on any particular point?
I've got a page 2.
Go ahead.
Right at the bottom of page 2, there's a sentence starting, while the, it's an incomplete sentence. We don't need to wordsmith it here.
John?
Yeah, and also on page 2, the red line paragraph starting in preparation for the STI. If you could just say each constituency and stakeholder group met with its, representatives and had the opportunity to prepare and submit. Because I'm not sure everyone, every constituency and stakeholder group did actually submit one.
Okay. Alan.
Yeah. If we're finished with page 1 or 2, on page 3 there's a statement that Kathy added about lawyers and non-lawyers. I sent an email on it. I would just appreciate it if we're not the non-lawyers are not segregated and, said we did some minor work. I sent an email on it. Whatever it says about us should say about all of us or none of us.
I think in a spirit of toleration that we lawyers can accept that.
Which is exactly the adage I was talking about. Thank you, David.
Okay.
So wait, how do I change that sentence, the one about the lawyers?
Plus a few non-lawyers, period, full stop, and delete who worked hard to keep the work focused and clear.
All right, thanks. Got it.
Okay. Moving along then, Kathy?
I just wanted to add a little bit of background very quickly on why I put the words in and didn't mean to offend anybody. I think I've mentioned to several people privately that the muse of writing, the goddess of writing, kind of deserted me on this paragraph. But the reason why I like the background at the beginning and the end was, as I read the beginning of the paragraph, that the SCI alternative proposal does not reflect the opinion or approval of any constituency. It didn't really reflect how much we've all brought, how much time, how much effort, and how much involvement of our constituencies or our advisory groups that we created to advise us in this process, how much back and forth there has been. And I just wanted to see that reflected in here because we've all dedicated life and data to this.
And I think it's fair to say that explicitly, but not just about the non-lawyers.
Let's move along. The report, the recommendations are going to stand on their own legs regardless of okay, let's get on with the substance. What's the next point?
Why don't you just call out pages and let us scream out if we have a comment?
Okay, we're moving along to page 4.
I can't see pages on the screen,
numbers?
So you could do the numbers of the
numbers.
Paragraph, I think it will be.
At the bottom of each page, but...
it's too small on my screen, sorry.
You can make it larger.
Yeah.
Also
but then
okay.
Intro to Trademark Clearinghouse.
There doesn't seem to be anything. No one has a hand raised. Can we just move on to the chart? And
yeah.
1.1. Any comment? Number 2.1. Okay. 2.2. 2.3.
Yeah, it's Kathy. I don't understand the reason for the change. It confuses me.
Which change?
2.3, segregation of TC database. So I'll just ask whoever made it.
That was me. This is Jeff Newman. Yeah, so what it said before was that the TC service provider may not use the TC database to provide ancillary services. But later on, it does talk about any party being able to use the TC database for ancillary services as long as it's provided on an equitable basis. So we didn't really mean that they can't use the database. What we meant is that they can't commingle any data, right?
Okay,
so that's
you're right.
Why.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks. 4.
I assume Margie's going to call out if she has either ors that have to be resolved.
Yeah, I will call out as I get to it. Most
okay.
of the stuff had to do with the minority positions, but since we're not putting them in, I didn't discuss them. I'm just going to say BC minority position or...
No, I meant ones within the text itself.
Right.
2.5.6.
There's an either or there.
There's one right there. I think there were two different approaches on this. I don't know how significant they were. Hold on, 2.6.
I'm the one who made that one. There was a reference to ICANN contracting with two TC service providers. And that implies two completely parallel ones in my mind. And I don't think we ever discussed that. So that's why I suggested that wording.
Okay. And I thought Kathy said she wanted it, or Constantina said he wanted it the way it was before. So I don't care. This one's a big deal. Go with Alan's language right here, which is or the details of the TC service provider and its contracts with ICANN.
Constantina, so you okay with that?
Yes, I'm fine with that.
Great. Thank you. We're good.
Okay. Along then 3.1. It's 4.1.
Yeah, I have a question on 4.1. Jeff Newman. It says that it's a registry minority opinion that inclusion of a trademark in the clearinghouse from a country where there is no substantive review does not mean a registry must include those trademarks in a Sunrise or IP claims. I just want to verify that that's only the registry opinion because it seemed like there were a bunch of emails in support of that, so I didn't really understand that to be a registry minority position. But if it is, that's fine too. But if people can weigh in, I thought that was a majority opinion actually.
It's Alan. My understanding was we had decided to include marks from regardless of jurisdiction.
That's
right.
The section on what you need to use might reflect a minority position, I thought.
Okay, Wendy?
Yes, I think from non-commercial, we thought we would agree with Jeff that registries should have discretion to use or not use marks on some objective criteria, like were they relevant to the class of uses promoted by the registry, were they validated, substantively reviewed, and so I think the only reason it might not have been in this section was if this was only database inclusion and use of the database was addressed elsewhere.
Mark?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to echo what Wendy said, is that and Alan, that this is focused on what goes in and not how it's used. And so I think, Jeff, your point, although it might help for understanding the database, it's more of a use point rather than an inclusion point.
Okay, I'd be happy to take it out of minority, and I don't think there is another use point elsewhere in the document. I'd be happy to have it on its own section, be like a 6 or 5 point whatever or 4 point whatever. I just didn't see it.
I don't think it was there. I think we had a conflict at this point, and because there was a statement later saying you could only refuse something on because of class of service or something, and I would think this statement needs to be there.
It's possible it goes in 5.2 then.
Yes, or one or two.
Haven't we all agreed that the word nationally registered or the phrase nationally registered should be nationally and internationally, thinking about the EU?
Right? Yeah, my suggestion would be nationally or multinationally.
Or multinationally, yeah.
Good.
Okay, so let me just start. Saying there's no need for a registry minority position here, it won't be referred to in 4.1. Is that right?
If it's referred to as a majority position or whatever in somewhere else in the document, like in section 5, that's correct.
Sure. When we get to 5.2,
we won't forget.
Okay.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. Then moving along to 4.2.
I have something to raise on that.
Okay. Kathy?
Would anyone object to adding the words, just going straight to the red text, provided that a new GTLD registry may elect to have the TC service provider collect and verify common law, I think we're trying to say common law trademarks or other materials? Because we had talked broadly about other types of collections, pizza, restaurants, et cetera.
Isn't that the ancillary services that they can provide at a price?
We seem to, okay.
This is the core database we're talking about.
This is not the core database we're talking about.
Oh, okay.
Because that's not included in the core database. Never mind.
I think
Wendy
may
have a change as well.
Wendy, do you have your hand up?
No, apologies.
We have agreement then on 4.2?
Yeah.
So am I changing it or not changing it, 4.2, to add the word trademark? Or just leaving it the way it is?
Let's leave it the way it is.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, then next is 4.3. Kathy?
Sorry, didn't take my hand down.
Next then is 5.1. Okay.
Wait, there's no discussion of 5.1? I'd like to hear it. There's a lot of new language here.
Yep. It takes a long time to raise a hand.
Alan?
Well, there are a number of things. Now, number one, Jeff asked the question of, is this exactly the same language that came out of the IRT? I'm somewhat concerned that we're trying to add this huge amount at the end without having a real discussion on it. And I think that the registry's position of not having to include marks that haven't been verified nationally or multinationally is an issue that has to be considered in the core document. I don't think that should be I really don't think that should be a registry minority position, but the group may decide it is.
Any other comments on that?
Yeah, Kathy.
Zahid had his hand up.
Yeah, I'm just reading basically through it. I just noticed that there is a inclusion of language that says that a certain registry can exclude the .shu example. And I'm thinking that even in .shu, wouldn't you want to have certain domain names because they could still be infringed upon subsequent to launch? So I just wondered what the rationale for restricting it would be, and I don't know how that would impact trademark holders.
Can we get a clarification of is this the text from the IRT or is it brand new?
Yeah, I can answer that. It looks like it is the text from the IRT. Paul submitted this, and I think it was exactly the same.
I think some was changed, though. I got to find out where
is
it was.
Is that right?
Jeff, yeah. I saw something that was different, that was kind of a little bit tailored. I just got to find out where it was now.
But what's this, John? What's the principle that we're trying to get in all this new language? Could we just boil it down?
Yeah.
I think the principle is the IRT report had content about what a sunrise process or IP claim process, what standards it should follow, and we thought it was useful to refer back to those standards to give content to what a sunrise process is and an IP claim process.
Then let's just point to it as a part of the staff implementation. We'll still have an opportunity to comment later if they get it wrong.
Yeah, I think the IRT had made it just for sunrise, and it was called the standard sunrise. It was standard sunrise process or whatever it was called there. It wasn't really applicable to the IP claims or trademark claims. So I think the principle was that if there is a sunrise process, that there should be some standardization to those processes throughout each registry, giving them some discretion with marks that they include. But to the extent that they include marks, a sunrise process should look like this, so that trademark owners didn't have a different process every single time there was a sunrise, which would result in increased costs. And I think
that's the way it reads. A sunrise process which complies with the following minimum sunrise eligibility standards.
Yeah, but I think if we just make the statement that there should be some standardization to the sunrise processes and then leave it at that, with implementation details and maybe pointing to the IRT as one source of that might accomplish the goal without having everybody look at every single word and make sure it's consistent with the rest of the report.
Kathy?
I'm going to agree with Jeff, and in fact, I was going to ask Jeff and John, all the Jeffs and John, whether this language preserves the type of limited discretion that we were trying to preserve for the new registries, including that ability to decide between that, even in a sunrise, that a Benelux mark or a Tunisia mark might not be, a mark that doesn't, that comes from a country without substantive review, might not be something that you want to use in your sunrise. I think that discretion is limited, is here, and I wanted to check with everybody about that and also see if this is where we now move the registry NCSG minority opinion, that ability to look at those marks is a discretion we want to leave to the new registries.
Mark, do you have your hand up?
I'm sorry.
Jeff.
To answer Kathy's question, I think that's one of the reasons I brought it up. Like, paragraph A in there, ownership of a registration of national effect that issued on or before. Again, Benelux registration would have national effect, but that doesn't mean we want to honor them. So the answer, Kathy, is yes, that this would limit our discretion, and we don't support that. So that's kind of one of the reasons why I would just concur with a statement saying there should be some standardization to the sunrise processes consistent with this report, and then leave that principle, leave it as that without any of the details.
John.
Yeah, first of all, I think I'm hearing that reasonable or limited registry discretion is not a minority position, because I think I heard the NCSG, I heard the registries, and now I hear the registrars, and I think even Alan and ALAC mentioned it as well. So we should get a better sense of whether that's a minority position or not. I'm in favor of reasonable registry discretion, so that if a registry decides that it doesn't want to honor the marks that aren't validated or checked or whatever word we're using, it should be able to do so. Or if it's a niche registry for a specific market, that it limit, trademarks to that class of goods and service. I think it's very reasonable, and we'll take it from there.
Alan?
I think I took down my hand because everyone was saying what I was going to say.
Okay, Mark.
I think that IPC's view on this would be generally in line with John, provided, and this is important, that that the minimum standards are met, and those minimum standards are the ones set out in the IRT report. That was a careful balancing and compromise that Jeff was involved in, and we think those minimum standards need to be satisfied. Beyond that, discretion is appropriate.
Okay.
Mark, does minimum standards mean they must include Tunisian marks in the sunrise?
If a Tunisian mark is relevant to the registry.
So if I have a, this is Jeff, so if I have a dot web and Enom has a blog registered in the Benelux countries, I have to recognize that?
It says, there's more minimum standards there that you worked on, Jeff, and you were comfortable with what they were in the IRT report.
Yeah, I was at the time. I didn't realize that was in there. Shame on me for not have having read it that close.
And, you know, it allows challenges to be brought to those marks, to the ones that are being claimed. So in the instance you're talking about, the challenge process would work.
But what's the basis of the challenge?
It's outlined in the report.
Well, if the rules are you have to have a mark of national effect, then what's the challenge? Because they'll just say it is national effect. It's national in the Benelux countries. So there's no basis.
You had more rules in this section that you wrote.
Say that again?
You had more rules for the challenge, and they're stated below in this section that you wrote in the IRT report.
My brain and my old age is going. All right,
I guess we have to agree to disagree on this one, but as I said, the IPC's point of view would be that the minimum standards that were thought through in the IRT report are appropriate and should be the floor for the Sunrise.
Then we should say that and not take up three pages with a level of detail that doesn't exist anywhere else in the report.
I think we'd be okay to incorporate by reference that portion of the, you know, elsewhere, but and not repeat it here.
Seems to me to be a practical approach.
Yeah, but I'm seeing discussions, this is Jeff, on the chat, that the registry view is not necessarily a minority view. In fact, I would think maybe the opposite, that the IPC view may be the minority.
I think that's probably correct, but we won't see it till we see all the minority review reports. So,
Mark?
Sorry, I should have taken my hand down.
Margie, do you have enough to work with now?
Okay, so I guess I'm a little confused. What am I supposed to do here? Delete out all the language that was added in 5.1. Make a reference to minimum standard Sunrise processes, but not refer to the area. And give the registries reasonable discretion.
Mark?
I think the suggestion is that it would say the wording as is, maybe you flip the order of Sunrise process and IP claim and say IP claim or Sunrise process which complies with the minimum Sunrise eligibility standards set forth in the IRT report.
I have a friendly amendment to that, which would be that except to the extent it conflicts with this report. Right, so there could be things in the IRT report that conflict with what's here, and what's here should take precedence.
Mark?
Well, that's a friendly amendment, so I guess I would accept that concept in the sense of, that it's identified in this particular paragraph, yeah.
Okay. Kathy?
Another friendly amendment. I'd like to, I think to help people read this, it would be great to break out the challenge section into a new five-point section so that we have a specific, just break out that all the language on challenge. Into a new section to follow immediately.
So what would the challenge section say?
It would start with the line which is embedded on page 13, I believe. Each Sunrise process shall allow challenges based on at least the following four grounds. And then have those four bullet points.
I thought we weren't having that level of detail here.
I think this is the first time we're laying out the challenge. I think we need it. I didn't realize we deleted it. I thought we were keeping the detail.
We were trying to avoid the detail by incorporating by reference the IRT.
I think to the extent that we've, as I understand, maybe I wasn't following the discussion completely, I understood that some of the language of the IRT had been changed, so I think we do need to incorporate specific language so that we all know exactly what's being referred to.
Mark?
Well, I was just going to get to Kathy and what the suggestion was to end it with, in considering the comments from everyone else, was to end it with the minimum sunrise eligibility requirements set forth in the IRT report, except as modified herein. And leave out the detail because that was the direction that the group seemed to be going in. I don't have a real conflict, though, with keeping the detail that Kathy's suggesting, but I didn't think that was the way the group was going.
Hey, Jeff?
Sorry, my hand should have been down.
Okay, well, then I think we can...
David, my hand is still up because I'd like to keep the challenge language because I think it adds something unique here. Or some abbreviated form of it, that each sunrise peer process shall allow challenges. Otherwise, I think that detail will be lost.
Kathy, let me suggest perhaps we'd say sunrise eligibility standards and challenge process set out in the IRT report, except as modified herein. So we're highlighting the challenge aspect as well. And we don't need all the detail.
Okay. Can I ask a question to Margie? Margie, and then in the implementation, ICANN staff will just go back and refer to these four bullet points for the challenge process and incorporate them?
The problem I have with this, except as set forth in this report, is you're not giving us a clear – I don't know what that means, and I don't know how the IRT report differs from what's in this report. So I know you guys are doing that because it's easy for you, but I think it puts staff in a difficult position because I don't know what specifically is different from the IRT sunrise processes versus what's here.
Jeff.
Yeah, so on that, the one I'm specifically referring to is it says that sunrise process must comply with the minimum sunrise eligibility standards, and the first one is ownership of a registration of national effect that issued on or before a certain date. The question I have is, and which may not be a minority, is that we just said that the registries have discretion as to whether to include certain marks that may have national effect from their sunrise, for example, Benelux, you know, countries that don't have substantive review. And I don't want that's an inherent conflict, right? If you say it has to meet the minimum standard, but then you're also saying the registries have the discretion to not include those marks, that's an inherent conflict. So if it's a minority view, it's one thing, but it sounds like it's not a minority view.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate that. I mean, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'd rather call that out than have to somehow infer it later on. And so if that becomes the majority position and that's fine, then let's just say it, you know, that the IRT report accepts this, and then that makes it easier for us.
Mark?
A suggestion on getting past this might be to take the detail here and put it in a footnote or endnote so that it doesn't, you know, so you refer to the standards, but the standards are included in the report, and then Jeff's point could be stated and then identified as to whether it's a minority position or a majority or minority. I think that, as I've said, the IPCs would stand with the IRT standard and have a different view from what Jeff is saying, but those views could be identified.
Kathy?
And then just to follow that through, taking it down to the to follow Jeff's point through, taking it down to the challenges and the bullet points, it would seem that if a registry has decided not to accept Benelux or Tunisian marks, and then a Benelux or Tunisian mark is the one that's being challenged, that that needs to go into the bullet points as well, that that's a ground for challenging, that it doesn't comply with the standards the registry set. It would, so it has to percolate through. And I can give you the exact wording, but no one wants to hear it at this time in the morning. But it's the third bullet point of the challenges that it would have to reflect, again, the registry standards.
Marjorie, do you have any?
I think I'm hearing you guys want, instead of putting it in the text here, have it be a footnote, right? So we'll have the language of the footnote. We'll clarify Jeff's point about how it differs from the IRT report. And then, Kathy, I didn't get your last point, that you'd have a revised language for the third bullet point in the challenge process. Is that what you're
right.
saying?
Yes, it says the trademark, one of the grounds of challenging is that the trademark registration on which the domain name registrant based its Sunrise registration is not of national effect or is not from a country that the registry has chosen to incorporate in its Sunrise period. That would either be the minority or the majority view, depending on which way this goes on this issue.
John?
Yeah, sorry to throw a wrench in this, but I don't support a footnote of language that I haven't really analyzed and don't know the differences between what's in here and what's in the IRT, and I think we would just throw it in a footnote and it would come back to bite us if there's language in there that we don't agree with. So, you know, one option is to say that the clearinghouse or the use of the clearinghouse shall meet minimum standards, as Mark pointed out, and we could say such as those laid out in the IRT report, and then, you know, we have the discretion point somewhere else. Just throwing it out there.
Alan.
Can we say something to the effect of there is not unanimity and this needs more community discussion? We're getting bogged down on it. It's an important issue, but it's not the only important issue that we're trying to get through today.
I'm comfortable with that.
I think you're right. We don't seem to be making much progress on this. Margie, do your best what you heard, and we'll shoot at it when the next draft comes out. Let's move on then to 5.2.
So I guess this is where we need to discuss whether this is a minority view or a rough. Which view is the rough consensus view, and which view is the minority view? From what I'm hearing, it sounds like the registry, at least the registry's non-commercial and registrars agree that.
And at large.
So agree with what's labeled here as the registry minority. So could we go around to the IPC, the BC, and others?
Well, no one has raised their hand. Perhaps you're right that it's there. Oh, Mark?
Sorry, I'm slow to raise my hand, but the IPC's point of view would be that the minimum standards set out in the IRT report should be followed, and that above that there would be discretion to do this, that this issue is addressed in the challenge process, not in the not in just having a discretion to exclude it.
Comments?
Well, so I guess that's the minority view then. I mean, maybe the BC supports that too. But it sounds to me like the other view is the rough consensus, and that the minority view is what Mark just stated.
Okay, so let me, so if I'm understanding you guys, what you're saying is what I've got for the registry minority position on the right goes into the body, and then I put in an IPC minority position and a BC minority position. Is that what I'm saying? And essentially the statement's wrong. We're not providing equal protection for all trademarks. The very first sentence is not true.
For all trademarks that have been are trademarked in jurisdictions that do whatever our word is, substantive error, substantive review.
Yeah.
Well, it's 2 points. It's one, it is true for equal protection for all trademarks that meet the criteria that the registry sets out as well. So if the registry says it's going to take in all registrations from all countries that do substantive review, it still must protect all of those equally. Does that make sense? So it's registries can choose which trademarks to include on the basis set forth in that second sentence, you know, the restriction for shoes, and on the basis of the jurisdictions that do substantive review. But once it includes all of those in its criteria, then it's got to provide equal protection for all of those.
Mark?
Yeah, I want to support Jeff's point on that. I think we should keep the equal protection language provided it meets the criteria of the registry. I don't think we want to be suggesting that there's not going to be equal protection for trademarks of any particular jurisdiction. I think that would be unwise and not right to do.
Okay. Can we move along then?
So I have a question. So other than jurisdictions where they don't conduct a substantive review, does the registry still have discretion? Because that's where I'm confused. I understand the distinction between the jurisdiction that does substantive review and doesn't do substantive review, but what about, you know, within countries that all do substantive review? I mean, is there registry discretion there?
Well, I mean, the second...
As described in the current 5.2.
Yeah, so if they just want to do Dutch, if they just want to do shoes, they can do that.
Got it. Okay, I understand that. I understand, yeah. That makes sense.
Okay, then I think we can move on to 6.1.
There's an or here, right? Two different languages are being offered.
Yeah, these came from different suggestions, and I don't see that they're that different. Question is, which one do you prefer, the longer version or the shorter version?
One seems to have any preference. So let's take the shorter version.
Okay.
6.2.
Wait, sorry, I missed that. I was still reading it. Equal and non-discriminatory terms is different than on a commercially reasonable term. They're two different points. It really shouldn't be an either or. It should actually be both. To the extent that they're this monopoly provider of services, they shouldn't be advantaged, and they should also provide things on equal and non-discriminatory terms. They're two different points. They're not either ors.
Oh, Wendy.
Just a point of order. I see the call scheduled for 90 minutes, and we haven't even gotten near uniform rapid dissension, which is of even more substantial concern for a lot of us. I don't know what we can do to speed things up.
That's a very good question. Kathy says she's okay with making it and instead of or. John agrees with that. Let's do it that way then. And moving along, 6.2. And 7.1.
7.1, Kathy.
Yep.
I like the original language.
Which is the original?
The one that's crossed out. You said the TC database, to support post-launch IP claims should not be required. It's just clearer to me, but whoever suggested the language that's there, that's currently there.
Are you talking about the overall language or the should to shall?
I think it changes the nuance of what is meant of the post-launch. So I just think it was clearer in the original, the way Margie had drafted it in the original language.
I think I proposed it. I'm willing to withdraw.
Thank you.
Just changing IP claims to trademark claims, right?
Exactly.
To go along with the rest of them, shall is probably the right word, but I don't really care.
Agreed.
So change the type of claims and should to shall, leave the original sentence.
Okay, got it.
Yep.
Thanks.
8.1. And 9.1.
There's an option there, reviewed or validated. Validated is the word we use in an earlier section to talk about what the Trademark Clearinghouse does. Review is the term we use for what national trademark registries do.
That takes us to 10.1.
Wait, I'm sorry. Where did we end up on 9.1? I didn't get it. Which do you prefer?
Well, validated is the word we use in one of the very early sections to describe what the Trademark Clearinghouse does. So
okay,
I would suggest that it's validated, not reviewed.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it. Thanks.
Okay. 10.1. Okay. Then we can spend at least a little time on the URS. Starting right out, number 1.1. Cool. 2.1. Go ahead.
Sorry, just one question on the previous section. We made a comment that we just want to make sure that the not being in the trademark clearinghouse isn't perceived as not being vigilant about the rights. Is it possible? I know I've skipped some things have gone by, but is it possible to have that sort of clarification there?
Yeah, this is John. Can I get in?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, when I wrote that yesterday, I had no problem with that, and if you want to make that a consensus position, I'm fine with that as well.
Me too.
Thank you. I see Kathy agrees as well, and Constantino. Thank you.
Okay.
Jeff, I agree with that.
Okay, so let me clarify that you're talking about 9.1 and the BC minority position about failure to file my DCC.
Right. You take out the first clause.
Right.
That's
right. All
right.
So basically, the statement that says that failure to file will not be perceived as a lack of vigilance by trademark holders or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, something like that. I can work with you on the line.
That'll help.
Got it.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay. and moving along to the URS.
I suggested that we remove the reference to nominate. I suggested some other language that either we have included language that explains safe harbor, or if we want to reference, I had some language that said, these are terms that have been used by other providers of similar services. There are at least some people in the world, including many in the UK, who do not look on favor with nominate right now for a number of reasons, and making a reference to them I don't think helps our case.
I don't think we should tie ourselves to a country code that what happens if they change. Mark?
Yeah, I think Alan's point, I think, is well taken, in that the point is that these were not invented out of whole cloth. There's a certain track record to them, so to say that they're based on existing proposals.
If Margie can't find it, I can dig up the reference somewhere.
No, I have it.
Okay.
So it's on existing jurisdiction or something. Yeah. I'll find that.
Sorry, right. The numbering changed, so I couldn't find it.
Zahid.
You know, I just wanted to add that we agree with Alan's comments. We just say existing providers or TPLD providers, and that's fine.
Constantinos?
Well, actually, I would disagree with Alan. I think that we need to keep reference to the nominate system, and I know that a lot of people are not aware of it, but for two main reasons. First of all, it is a precedent. There is an existing mechanism that addresses those issues. And secondly, and I'm speaking purely as an academic here, we have copied verbatim the nominate position, and for copyright issues, I really think that we need to keep it. Thank you.
Then put a note at the bottom of the description or something. I don't much care. I just think this is going to hurt us in some venues. So,
Jeff.
Yeah, from what I understand of nominate, don't they require mediation services and some other things that I don't think we really want? The site is necessarily a good model. I mean, I know they have some language in there that has some safe harbors, but then they ultimately require mediation. I agree that we should not be citing to any particular country code, because I think it could come back to bite us in the end. There are some things about the nominate proposal that I don't think we would like.
John. Mark.
Perhaps to deal with what Constantino said is that there could be a reference, as Alan suggested, in a footnote. It might be a footnote in the annex.
That would be fine. This Constantino, that would be fine.
Great. Good idea.
I think we can move along to 2.2. Due 2.3, examination of the case. 2.4, 3.1.
Yeah, maybe I don't care this much about it, but we talk about actual notice. There's no way to actually ensure that someone has actual notice. You can only... Never mind, I withdraw it. It's not worth it. Leave it.
It's just to increase the likelihood of actual notice.
I know. Just,
okay.
I withdraw.
Okay. 3.2.
It's a good edit.
4.1. 4.2. 4.3, 5.1, 5.2.
Wait, 5.1. Sorry, Alan. The language prior to being declared in default, I don't think we need that here. We discuss default later on. I think it's a statement the registrant shall have 20 days to file its answer.
Registrant shall have 20 days.
I don't think we need to anticipate default in 5.1.
Okay, but that implies they only have 20 days, but that's fine.
Oh, I see. Provider.
So you're going to take out the language part being declared in default?
Oh, you were trying to lead into the default, the separate default answer language.
It's answered in 5.4.
I can go either way then. Okay. Now I understand. Leave it the way it is. That's fine.
So including the square brackets.
But okay. I think the provided that a decision is rendered in an expedited basis, I think that goes someplace else. That's not a time-to-answer issue.
Well, that was a time-to-answer issue for the IPC, is that we consent to the 20 days, provided there's a decision within 3 to 5 days. And I thought that's basically what everybody had said.
I think we all agreed to it, but...
Yeah, we all agreed. Let's not worry about which section.
Okay,
it goes.
Never mind. Okay, fine.
5.2. 5.3.
No. 5.2. There's an either or.
Oh.
Alan, is that your or language? That
I'm
follows?
I'm trying to read it. We use the term timely manner, which is not defined, and I was trying to be specific. And it also incorporated some language which I think disappeared somewhere else.
Okay, fine. Good. We'll take the language after.
So we're taking the big one in this case.
Okay, I got it.
Okay. 5.3.
5.3 is now redundant. It's now being replaced by the previous one, I think.
Right.
No,
No.
I think it's the language we just agreed to. I think I added the word saying you got to pay the fee before the examination happens.
Yeah, it's redundant.
Okay.
5.3, that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, merge 5.2 and 5.3.
Well, it's already been merged.
Yeah, it's already there.
Yeah.
Okay.
5.4.
Yeah.
A respondent crept in there instead of registrant.
Got it.
This is Jeff, and this might have been my language. In 5.4, it says that upon such an answer being received, domain name should have resolved immediately. Since the answer is received by the panel as opposed to by the registry or registrar, there needs to be some level of time before it resolves. In other words, it's maybe promptly after receiving notice that an answer has been filed, the registry shall, or, you know, are escaping me. Basically, you got to give some time since the answer is received by the URS provider as opposed to the registry or registrar, you need to give some time to communicate that to the registry and registrar, and then some time for the registry and registrar to implement it.
I have to interrupt here. I have to drop off because I have another call that starts in a couple of minutes. As I understood it,
we'll all have to go.
If you want to extend this call, I believe we can. What I suggest is that we get a new draft, and if we do have to have any further calls, it would be best to focus. No subject can be introduced unless it's on an agenda, which will have to be agreed to. But in any event, John, are you still on?
Yeah.
Or as the chair?
If we schedule another call, we're if it's not held tomorrow, it's less than 7 days for, before the GNSO meeting, though.
Yeah, well, and I can't do it tomorrow, so. Okay, thank you all. I have to drop off.
Thanks, David.
Okay, so, Wendy and David dropped off. Anyone else? Can we just keep on going for a little bit?
I think so.
Okay.
I can stay on for about 10 more minutes.
Yeah.
Margie, did you get that last point, just to make sure that we...
So you want to make it clear that the maybe it's a notice gets sent to the registry immediately or something, but
The stuff should resolve within as soon as practicable.
Yeah, perfect.
And respondent changes the registrant.
Same.
Got it. Okay.
6.1. Comment 6.1. 6.2. Okay. There's a question here.
Yeah, 6.2. Sorry, I went to go to Luis Constantinos.
Go ahead.
Yes. First of all, apologies for bringing this into the discussion right now, but don't we want to give the option to the registrant to opt for a three-member panel the same way as the UDRP? And that's just a question to the group.
My answer would be, because of the expedited nature of this, not at this point. We are giving them the option to do that in an appeal. So the better course would be to have the decision rendered by the examiner, and then if the registrant is disgruntled by the response, then they can opt to have a three-member panel review it. So essentially we are doing that, but we're not creating the possibility for slowing down the process or gaming the process in a way that's undesirable.
Wendy, you have your hand raised. Did you have a comment?
No, I was sorry to hold
okay,
back.
Okay, Alan.
Wendy.
I'm sorry, Wendy's cutting in and out.
I'm trying to speak. Am I not?
No, are you on a cell phone?
Am I not being heard?
That's better. Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So, with regard to I'm trying. Hello?
Hi, we can hear you, Wendy. Wendy's going to take us back to 5.4. Sorry about that. She needs to do it before she leaves the call.
And I thought I had my hand raised earlier, but I just simply wanted to add that 5.4 is not an appeal. What we're the answer after default is distinct from an appeal, which we get to later.
So you want to add the words...
Does it say it's an appeal?
No.
I think Wendy wants to add the words at the very end of 5.4, and again, sorry to take us back to two slots. This is not an appeal.
Why would one think it is?
Because
in many other jurisdictions, default is a final judgment.
Okay, fine.
Not including
that. Lawyers, Trump,
right,
non-lawyers. Lawyers, Trump, non-lawyers.
Okay. Now we're back to 6.2.
Great. Thanks, Wendy.
Okay. So on 6.2, I have Alan.
Yeah. My suggestion had been to take out with legal background, because this is a section on number of examiners, and with legal background is in the very next paragraph.
Agreed.
Okay.
Okay.
Constantinos, you want him back in, or?
Yes, just a very quick note on what Mark said. I understand fully what is being stated here, but wouldn't that be burdensome for the registrant, having to file a fee, having to pay a fee for the appeal, and then pay another fee if they want to opt for a three-member panel? It is just, as I said, apologies for bringing this on, and I don't feel very strongly, but if Mark can answer that, that will be excellent.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Constantinos, they don't have to pay an additional fee. First of all, at the initial review, they don't have to pay any fee.
Yes.
Under the UDRP now, if a registrant wants a three-panel review, they have to pay a fee at the initial
mm-hmm.
stage to get that. So all we're doing is shifting and saying, okay, you have an initial review. If then and only the registrant is in a better position, because they might win. If they win, they don't need to pay the money for the three-panel review. If they lose, then they can pay the money for a three-panel review on the appeal.
Yeah, I agree with Mark for what it's worth. I mean, we wanted it to be as inexpensive as possible, and that would just add costs, and the registrants have the same rights for appeal to get a three-member panel. So.
Okay, fine.
6.3? 6.4.
It's an or. In 6.4, I prefer the ICANN should discourage form shopping.
I have
through
no problem.
The U.S. It's just a matter of semantics. I think it says the same thing.
It was my comment, and the second one, adding the words in line 4 or so, are fine with me. I just wanted to make sure it's not ICANN that does this. It's ICANN does it through the contracts. Kathy's wording is fine with me.
Any other comments? Okay. You got that, Margie?
Yeah, I have it.
Okay. So 6.5. Okay. 6.7.1. Okay. 7.2. 8.1 was deleted.
Sorry, this is Jeff. Sorry, it took me a sec.
Sure.
7.1 seems to conflict with some of the other statements about things being put on hold. Either it points to the page or it's put on hold. It can't be both. We need to line that up. If 7.1 is the way we all believe that it should go to a informative web page, then we need to make the changes back in the other sections that talk about effective default, and we just need to make them all match.
Okay. There is no effective default. It's effective judgment only in any case, but yes, you're right. We should make the match.
Margie, are you able to do that, you think?
Wait, I just have a question. So do we want the page resolved or not? I mean, if you want the page to resolve to the URS provider page, then, yeah, we change the hold language. I want to make sure the concept is something everyone agrees to.
Oh, the page is going to point to the URS provider?
It's going to no. The URS provider would – it's not their, like, storefront. They were, yeah, at least from the IRT recommendation, it was put up a page. It would host a page that said, you know, this name is under hold because of a URS decision or something like that.
The intent was to do exactly what the IRT suggested and point out that they must disable the other services too, which the IRT didn't mention.
Zahid?
Yeah, I was just wondering, there was in the previous drafts I saw that the option to renew for extension of the registration period for 1 year. Is that not part of the rough consensus? Just wanted to get a clarification on that.
I thought it had been, but it seems to have disappeared along the way.
It's in there under a minority position. But let's finish this one issue. The resolution of the domain name. Where is it going to resolve, if anywhere? Is it just down?
I thought it was the registrar that was putting up the page. Maybe I missed that through the whole discussion.
I think
the
IRT
recommendation.
I think the IRT said the URS provider, because it has to include, if the registrant has never answered, it must give information about what they should do.
Okay. Okay, good.
So I think that's what the IRT said, and it's fine.
Okay, so any concerns with 7.1 in that section? Not, I'm sorry, Kathy, your hand's up?
No, I'm sorry, I meant to take that down.
So then the issue of...
Wait, hey, John, the wording just needs to be changed. It said instead it would point to, you should say, it would point to an informative web page supplied by the URS provider instead of point to the URS provider, which will provide an informative web page.
Yeah, right. And then this, and no other service seems to be hanging out there.
Keep that.
Well, if you just say it points to a page supplied by the URS provider, you could add a next sentence that the URS provider shall not do anything else with that, with those queries or something like that.
Okay. Mark?
I was just going to say, I got something from Melbourne IT the other day where on a phishing thing where the word they used is disabled. Is that better than hold? I mean, that's really kind of what the intent of what happens here is, that the domain name, from a layperson's point of view, is disabled anyway, and that's the...
Well, disabled means dead, though, I think. In this case, we do want a web splash page.
Okay, fair enough,
I think.
Okay. So, let me ask, is it correct to say the last sentence, that the who is domain, the domain name should reflect that it's on hold and cannot be transferred? Is that a correct statement still?
No. It can't
be transferred.
You can say, sorry, you could switch the name servers, but you could still have contact, you could have a status, the status won't say it cannot be transferred. There'll be a status in the who is that will indicate it cannot be transferred, but you would only know that if you knew, it would say contact I'll find something. Hold on. I'll tell you exactly what it would say. Go on with it. But no, it would not be on hold. It would not be something that says it can't be transferred. It would be a particular status.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you need to clarify language there.
If you could work on wording on that to make it technically correct, that'd be great.
Okay.
Okay. So then we have the Heath point about the remedy of... Well, related to the one-year extension?
Okay. Whether it's a remedy or not, it was somewhere. I don't know where it was. It disappeared.
It's in 7.2.
7.2, okay. Minority.
It's stated in 7.2 as a minority, and I thought we did have, that it was a minority position that we ought to solve that revolving door problem.
Well, but it was that it also was there, maybe not the reason John wrote the words, but it also was there to make sure that the domain didn't expire while going through this process or the day afterwards, which would make the whole thing rather moot.
Right. So, Alan, are we in an agreement that that this should be moved over to the main consensus?
I certainly agree. I don't know if anyone else does.
Mark, I'm going to support you because I did think it had been in the agreed column. But let me just check the wording as I remember it, which is that there should be the option for the complainant to extend the registration period for 1 year.
Yes,
after decision.
Or maybe even during the process. I mean, that's the way it works under the UDRP, and we might as well say it.
Yes, the decision may be too late. It may be that's the day it expires.
Okay. But not there shall be an extension. There shall be the option.
Yeah. There shall be an option for the complainant to extend the
registration. I think John had the wording right to begin with.
Yeah, the words at commercially reasonable rates was in there also.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Jeff. Let me just clarify. This is as the proceeding's going on, but not after the decision's been made, correct?
Well, maybe you could say after the decision's made, but before the decision is implemented.
Well, yeah, so here's the issue. If there's a default and the name is, I'm thinking this through. If we're pointing to a page, then it's still in, okay, then we can do it. But if it actually is on hold and not in the zone, then there's no way to actually extend the registration.
From a complainant's point of view, they should be able to know if this is going to expire quickly and be able at an early stage to say they want to extend it.
Well, but they'll know when they file it.
Yeah, remember, if the registrant responds quickly, this whole thing could be over a couple of days after the notice is sent out.
So
I just wanted to check that the owner remains the registrant remains the original registrant, even if the complainant extends.
Some good Samaritan has paid some money for them.
Well, but hold on. But that can't be guaranteed by the registry. There's no way to do that. Either you, if you allow the ability to, there's no way for a registry to accept a renewal but not allow any other changes to the registration. You're going to have to set it in policy, and you're going to have some enforcement mechanism against the registrar if it changes it. But there's no way to actually prevent the change from being made. That makes sense?
Yeah. So so you just give the complainant the ability to extend the registration period.
Correct, and you got to rely on the registrars to actually do it correctly and not change anything else.
And most of them do that now in the UDRP.
Right, but I just don't want it worded that it has to be prevented, right, because there's no way for a registry to prevent it.
Prevent what? I'm sorry, prevent what, Jeff?
Prevent other changes being made to a registration. If you allow a renewal, the registry, then in theory the registrar could change other aspects of it. It could violate a policy. You could have an enforcement mechanism against the registrar from a policy perspective, but there's no technical prevention.
It sounds like we agree on based on what was there before, and maybe that there could be, Jeff, you could submit further clarification on how this would technically work, but we've got agreement on the principle.
Do we have
provided the ownership stays with the registrant, because this may be in the middle of the proceeding that we're talking about, and the registrant may win. We don't want anything transferred away in the middle of that. So if we can add the language, provided ownership clearly stays with the registrant.
You could say there's an option for an extension of the registration period of 1 year by the complainant in the name of the registrant.
You know, we never discussed having it during the proceeding. I mean, we're talking about a 20-day proceeding, 23-day proceeding. This is a new concept. We talked about upon a successful URS, perhaps the successful complainant would have the opportunity to increase a year at that point. We never talked about it during the 23-day period, though.
What if it's expiring at that point?
Then it expires. Why bother? Why bother with the URS if it's expiring within 23 days?
There is no transfer. So presumably no one would file a URS within the last 20 days.
Okay. I can live with it.
So this would be then afterwards, after the decision, in order to preserve perhaps a right to go to the UDRP.
Right.
Okay.
Well, okay, so if that's going to be the case and the name cannot be put on hold, it has to be forwarded to a – name servers actually have to be in there.
Right, and we discussed that when we talked about it pointing to a page.
You said you were going to come up with the right language instead of on hold.
Yeah, all right. We'll have to figure that one out.
Implementation detail.
yeah, exactly. There we go. Appeals.
All right, 8.1 appeal.
Hey, Don,
okay, 8.1.
Yeah. Margie.
Yeah, I just need clarification. So they're moving the minority position over to the majority position. This is about the 1 year. But you're saying that it can only be implemented after the decision? But I heard, I'm just trying to understand.
You had language in this from the last version. Just take that out and put it back in.
Okay, so just use the old language?
Yeah.
Got it.
If it's wrong, we'll apologize later.
Yeah, exactly. All right, appeal. All
right. I think we've concluded that 8.1 is replaced by what was below, and so that
no, 8.1 was, in fact, not talking about appeal, but was a late answer, and it was moved back to Section 5 or something like that.
And so what's happened in what's now 8.1 is we've had offline discussions, and I think we've come to agreement on what that should be, at least.
That's the language you circulated earlier.
Yeah, it's not right in here, but Kathy and I worked on it yesterday, and we've run it by our various groups, and I think we've got agreement on that if everybody else can go along with it.
Anyone have any questions about the language circulated by Mark and Kathy?
No, it's much shorter. It's much better.
Excellent.
And it replaces
8.2, there's an OR.
Thanks, Al.
8.2, I had a comment on.
This yeah, I think eight,
related
eight
to the issue that we just discussed, right?
Yeah. 8.2, the language needs to mirror what we all just came up with, that the name's not down, it's not suspended, it's whatever status we're talking about. Just needs to mirror the rest of it.
Jeff, okay, do you have time to work with Margie on language on this kind of stuff? Because you know the technical better than anyone else.
Sure.
In all your free time.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Alan?
Yeah, there is no concept of a there's nothing different about a default-related decision. A decision is a decision. We said the decision is made based on the facts, not whether the respondent answered or not. So I don't know what the intent is here of saying there's a special case if it was a default-related suggestion, decision, rather.
Okay. Anyone know why there's a parenthetical like that in there?
I guess it probably refers back to the idea that if there's an answer after default, you can get the site back up. But I agree.
But the rest
Alan,
of the text covers that, I think.
Yeah, it's covered above.
Right, you can't file an appeal unless you have
I don't think the bracketed portion needs to be there.
I think
it was related to the fact that the late answer was inadvertently included in the appeal section, and someone was trying to cover for that, but...
I would
a decision is a decision. Okay.
Yeah, goes out.
I'll agree, but I'll defer. Wendy may have something to say about that. She's our expert on appeals. But let's take it out for the meantime.
But there is no difference of a default-related decision or a non-default decision. So.
Let's get rid of it.
Okay.
Okay. I've got Alan and Zahid. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. That was from the last one.
Zahid?
Yeah, sorry. I know this is a late stage to ask this question, and I probably missed it. I'm looking at 8.1, and I'm seeing a limited right to introduce new evidence, and I'm just wondering, what do we mean by limited right to introduce new evidence? How limited? I mean, does anybody know what?
We circulated the statement. It's a limited right to introduce new evidence. If you pay for it, it has to be admissible. It has to be material to the decision. And it works for both parties. It's similar to what happens in the NAF process.
I assume that means it includes a reference to the original website which you forgot to submit or whatever.
Well, the concern is that a legitimate good faith registrant may not have been well advised in the early part of the process, may not have been able to respond properly, and therefore, you know, if they believe in good faith that they should be able to submit some evidence, they can do so, paying a fee for it.
Okay.
This is awesome. Thanks, Mark.
All right, 8.3 is a parenthetical we added. Any concerns? 8.4, should to shall, and then there's a sentence ended at the bottom. Do we want to delete the reference to the nominate?
Nominate, yep.
Yeah, that parenthetical could be drawn.
So okay. I'm deleting the parenthetical, is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
The nominate parenthetical at the very end.
Right.
Okay.
Keeping the rest of the sentence.
Got it.
Thanks.
Okay, 9.1, should to shall, and then... some additions at the end there. On what would abuse be? Any questions? All right, Jeff, see you.
Bye, Jeff.
Okay, 9.1. There's a parenthetical here.
There is.
Whose language is that?
This came from Alan. He had some questions about... who determines abuse, that sort of thing.
Oh, that's 9.2.
I'm sorry, 9.2.
At the very least, I think we need a staff, staff to work on this.
Right.
I mean, we've said in the previous one, the examiner determines abuse by a complainant.
who determines abuse by examiners. We've put penalties in for having it, but it's not obvious who does it, who recognizes. So I'm just saying I think we need to leave that as a staff issue.
Okay, so we delete the parenthetical. Staff to implement guidelines for what constitutes abuse.
Presumably, it comes out of a decision of an appeal or something like that. But
yeah, the options could be either the appellate panel or an ombudsman.
So staff to implement guidelines for what constitutes abuse and who makes the decision?
Yep.
Yes, good. Good one.
Okay, mandatory review.
Before we leave 9.2, just a silly one. There's one remaining panelist in there in the second sentence, and it should be examiner.
Good catch.
All right. 10.1.
The document had 1 year in it, and I don't think this would say there's no provision for it to expire in 1 year, but it could expire in 2 years. And I think what we said is a sunset is not practical. So we should say it doesn't expire
after a set period of time.
After any set period of time.
Okay. So delete one year and say and include after a set period of time.
I think any set period of time.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And hope we get our act together and do something properly.
Yeah. All right. One. Kathy?
Sorry, no, hand should be down.
Hey, anything else on the URS? Anything else in the annexes that anyone wants to raise?
Annexes.
Yeah.
Annex 4 for me.
Okay, Annex 4. Alan, then Kathy?
There's a parenthetical in English, saying in English and local languages, if IDN application. The whole sentence is somewhat confused, but I can't accept the concept that we use a local language only if they use funny scripts. And if they use Roman characters, then we won't provide their local language. So I'm not sure. I would at the very least strike if IDN application. The whole thing's in square brackets because it needs to be refined. But at the very least, I think we need to strike if IDN application.
Do you want to refine the language, Alan? This is, I mean,
not
in English or local language.
I can try to send something to Margie, and I'll send it to the list. Right. I don't feel competent at this point. Given, I will in the next hour or so if that's the wish.
Can we just say in English and local language and then delete if IDN application?
Well, the problem is it's not clear what local language means.
Okay, well, we said in the recommendation.
Let me try to put something.
Why don't we just say in English and the language of the registration agreement?
That's fine with me.
Hey, Kathy.
A note for Margie and for everyone. The sentence that's added in the fourth paragraph is Paul's language. We all agreed to it. I tweaked it a little bit. He agreed to that. So, Margie, there's one slightly tweaked version of this language. It's a little more general for kind of non-lawyers and everyone else. It's already out there. I'll forward it to Margie again. It's just slightly tweaked.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. I must have missed it. So.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Annex 5. Okay. Annex 6. Okay. And then you'll add the minority views after that?
Yeah. Well, actually, I'll probably add, I'm going to rearrange the annexes and put the first annex being the minority report.
Whatever comes up in the report makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, any other comments, questions, anything else?
Just procedural. Margie, if we get you the minority report formatted semi-reasonably, essentially at the time of the GNSO meeting, that will be okay. You can pull them all together at the time before you send it to the board. Is that reasonable?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
So you're going to send out a final draft for review sometime today, this morning maybe?
Yeah, I'll send it to, today. I think we're okay not setting up another call. What do you guys think?
I agree. So the only time issue you're going to have is getting that language with Jeff, I suspect.
Right.
So I guess the sooner we do that, the better. And if you send something, this thing's due, what, tomorrow?
It was due on Monday.
Right, but we got a 3-day extension. Is that right? They wanted it a week before the meeting.
No later than tomorrow morning. But
okay.
I would suggest that at this point we're not open to conceptual changes, just grammar and or something that was really blatantly not what we talked about.
Right. Okay. So if you could get a draft, as soon as you can, give folks as much time as possible to turn any last-minute changes based on what Alan just said, grammatical or, inconsistencies, things like that.
Or the world is falling.
Right. And then we'll get it out by tomorrow. Okay.
Mr. Jamil has his hand.
Thank you. I just wanted a question. So the minority report's not going to be part of this report when it goes to the GNSO, I'm confused about the sequencing.
If you provide it in enough time, it is. If you don't, it isn't.
Thank you.
In my case, I will not provide it enough time, so it won't be.
In other words, start writing, Zahid.
Thanks, guys.
And I'd like to, if Zahid, when Zahid's minority report comes in, I think it would be fair to have that as the first one.
B is an early letter in the alphabet.
I can make an argument there on alphabetical grounds, but we'll leave that.
Reverse alphabetical order.
Thanks, John.
Great.
Okay.
Thanks for sharing, John.
Thanks, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.